And welcome back to an FNF special. Had a week off. We thought we'd have a night off from predicting and reacting and bring you some even juicier content. As ever, I'm joined by Ewan. How are you? Are you well?
I'm very good. I got a good deal in Tesco's. A few Fosters for fairly cheap,
oh,
probably.
No.
Well,
no. Yeah, Fosters is the only drink that's worse than Carlin.
Oh, I don't know about that, mate. I don't know. At least, well, to Carlin supporting a local industry. But yeah, good. And, thank you. Thank you, George. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. And that whiny bitch you can hear in the background is Alex. Of course, he is with us. Without a beverage, as I'd like to point out. But yeah, I trust that you're well, Alex. You got your moaning trousers on. So
I have got my moaning trousers on, and as I'm doing the underrated team, I can definitely moan about why people don't like these players. I am drinking a lovely Ribena in a pint glass. I don't really have any alcohol. I can't really afford any alcohol. And I think it's time for a detox.
Desperate. Because
I'm such a bloody legend. So I probably need some time off drinking. You know me.
Lad. Yeah, like it. Yeah, and we have also got another guest, one of the pioneers of the podcast industry. We are joined by the True Geordie. How are you? Oh, I'm very well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here and can't wait to get started.
What was that? Where is that?
Just to throw the podcast listeners.
Good. They'll never know.
Just for anyone who didn't know, that was actually Gig, and me and Ewan did not know he was going to pull out that stellar impression of the True Geordie.
Oh, talking of stellar, really, what are you drinking, George?
It's just a San Miguel, but regular listeners will know that I'm the proud owner of a San Miguel glass. So, adds an element of spruce.
San Miguel glass.
With all this European football. Yeah. And with all this European football, I was feeling so continental that I thought I'd go Spain. For this episode, Ewan is going to pitch to me an overrated team, 11 players a team effectively of players he believes to be overrated. He'll make a case for why. Alex will do the same for underrated. And whoever I think has made the best case, not necessarily the best player, but the best case as to why they're overrated or underrated, will go into my team. So yeah, starting off with the GK, naturally. Alex, I feel like I might have an idea, but which goalkeeper do you perceive to be the most underrated in the Premier League?
Well, I think that you think that I've gone for Sam Johnstone. However, I have not, because I think Sam Johnstone is getting the recognition he deserves, probably being England's fourth choice keeper, which I would say is probably about right. I think a goalkeeper who does not get the credit they deserve at all is Lukas Fabianski of West Ham United. Mm. Now, he's made 272 Premier League appearances. He's been great for West Ham, in my opinion. Apart from that one chucker he had against Liverpool, not too long ago, I think end of last season, I never really remembered him doing much wrong. Solid second choice for Arsenal for years. Kept Swansea up for 1 year, I remember, with a few stellar performances. And this season he's had 9 clean sheets, which is quite a lot considering we're about 30-odd games into the season. So he's kept a clean sheet in a third of his games. And over his whole career, he's made 72 clean sheets in 272 games, which I think just shows that he is definitely a class keeper. Doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Could probably play for a better team than West Ham right now, but could have maybe played for better sides earlier on in his career.
I must say you've made a very strong start. I thought immediately when you said it, it's a very valid shout, and the stats do back it up. He's sort of very dependable, like does everything that's asked of him without necessarily getting the headlines, which I think will probably be the theme for your team, really. But Ewan, who have you gone for as your overrated GK?
So I've gone for someone that we have criticised fairly recently. However, if you look at his CV, you'll see one of the most impressive accolades in world football. And I've gone for Hugo Lloris, World Cup winning captain, which is obviously outstanding. And he has been consistently good. However, I don't believe he's ever been one of the top like three or maybe even five keepers in the world. I think he's been consistently a solid keeper, but over recent years, or sort of definitely last season and this season, for me, his stock has fallen quite a bit. I know we've spoken about it on the pod before that he's bad at coming off his line, and he just lets in a lot of goals that you sort of a keeper of the caliber Tottenham need shouldn't be letting in. And he also doesn't necessarily command his defence like a keeper of a top team you need. You need that sort of unity and synergy between your goalkeeper and your defence, and you need someone to take the lead. And at his age and being the club captain, he should be the one that's making sure that they're right. But there's time and time again we see errors that just aren't normal for a team that, well, aren't normal of what you'd expect from a Mourinho team or a team that would be fighting for Champions Leagues or fighting for Premier Leagues. So I think he's done amazing things in his career, but I just think that his form has started to dip or has been dipping for a while. And he's slightly overrated because of being the World Cup winning captain and just being a pretty good keeper for most of his career. But I don't think he's ever really been that upper echelon of a goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's a very good shout as well. I think he's an excellent shot stopper, and he always has been. I think he's not far off Alisson in that respect, but as you say, no presence coming off his line. Doesn't give any sort of confidence to the back four, I don't feel. You look at the impact that a real world-class goalie can have in Alisson and Edison, and he hasn't really, Tottenham don't have that solidarity to him that stems from him, especially when he's captain. And I'd fancy myself not to let him many behind Varane and Umtiti as well. So, but I do have cat-like reflexes as well.
You've got really long arms as well.
Yeah, deceptively long. But yeah, I think he is. I think 2 or 3 years ago, I would still consider him one of the best in the league. But yeah, just costly too many times. That said, though, I do think Lucas Fabianski is more underrated than Hugo Lloris is overrated. I think there's a bit of an acceptance that Lloris can make a mistake, whereas Lucas Fabianski has been a very, very good Premier League goalkeeper for about 7 or 8 years now. I think when he was still pretty young, obviously goalkeepers take longer to mature as well. He did have a bit of a reputation of not being great at Arsenal. But he's dispelled that, as you say. He was excellent for Swansea and is a big part of why West Ham are so solid. So, yeah, I'll go 1-0 Alex on this one because Fabianski is our GK.
Well argued, though, Ewan. I thought you made a good case.
Thank you.
Yeah, two very good cases. I'm looking forward to this. So, yeah, what formation have we gone for? Sorry.
I've gone for a 4-3-3.
I've also gone for a 4-3-3. Semi 4-3-3.
Okay, yeah.
With a bit of creative license.
Dope, yeah, dope.
Not the only semi your gig's going to have when I mention some of my players.
Just from having your face on the screen, really. But Ewan, hit me with right back. Fire away.
So, for my right back, I have gone for someone who I believe is quite overrated, obviously, naturally. I've gone for the Portuguese player that plays for the Portuguese side of Wolverhampton. I've gone for Nelson Semedo. I think he's okay. Obviously, he came from Barcelona with a big price tag and he has a recognised name. And therefore, I believe people rate him higher than he actually is as a player. He's probably a perfectly okay player, but I don't think that he's warranted his 36 million price tag at all. Hasn't lived up to the hype. He gets caught out of position a lot, struggles defensively, and we criticise someone like Trent for his lack of defensive work and lack of defensive ability, but we never mention someone like Semedo. Obviously, it's because Wolves don't get as much attention, but for me, Semedo is just a fairly decent, competent player, and he's not a very good right back. I think it's probably right that he's gone from a top team to what's a mid-table Premier League team. I think he has been pretty bad for Wolves, and I think when you're getting linked to the likes of Juventus, Inter Milan and Man City, you should probably be a better player and perform more than what you've actually done. And I mean, he didn't, like, he obviously got game time at Barcelona, but it wasn't like he was a guaranteed starter. And so I think that just being at Barcelona has probably raised his stock a little bit more than it should have.
Okay, yeah. I can certainly see what you're getting at. I did think it was a very good acquisition when Wolves got him, but as you say, part of that might be the name as opposed to the actual ability of the player. But Alex, who have you gone for? Who do you feel is the most underrated in the right back?
Well, this is a weird one because the player I've chosen actually plays a lot of different positions, and it's a Leeds player, and obviously depends on the formation Leeds play because he can play on the wing, he can play in both fullback positions. He's even played centre mid a couple of times. It's not Luke Ayling, but it is Stuart Dallas. Now, I think my biggest hindrance in the argument is that I've put him in right back, but whenever I watch Leeds, I think that he is someone who, he always seems to have the ball in a build-up play to a goal. He's always involved. When I was watching, who was it, the Leeds player at the weekend? Chef Yu. Yeah, he was so good in, like, everything he created seemed to put Leeds in a really good position. He's got a bloody shot on him as well. And defensively, you never really see a man get past him. So, and I think he was really key for Leeds going up last year. And he's not really someone who ever gets talked about in that Leeds side. I feel like whenever you talk about Leeds' defence, you talk about players like Ayling. Whenever you talk about Leeds going forward, you think of like Rafinha or Bamford or Jack Harrison. But he does both of those things, and he's key in both parts, offensively and defensively. And I think he's a really key player for Leeds who is never really talked about.
Yeah, okay. I see the case you're making. I think when Leeds came up, I still felt, for all their brilliant football and the fact they came first in the championship, was fairly easy in the end, although West Brom gave them a good run. I'm sure you'll be keen to tell me. I thought they sort of lacked a lot of Premier League talent, if you know what I mean, with the exception of the likes of Phillips. But
one other thing I just wanted to quickly mention, actually. Like that, go on, sorry for interrupting. But Erling Haaland did also request his signature, which just shows the caliber of player he is. As Erling Haaland is a big Leeds fan, and he requested Stuart Dallas's top, and he did give it to him, as you know, he is Haaland's idol.
Okay, yeah. Now you've said that, I mean, yeah, as I was saying, I think like Dallas and people like Dallas and Click, I'll admit I didn't know too much about, have really shown that they've got the quality to play at this level, as well as like the ones we knew a bit more about. But I don't know. I think it's a bit early to be calling him underrated, if you know what I mean. Maybe if Leeds get a bit of second season syndrome and we sort of see how he fares, although I think Leeds will do well next year. But that said, I do like Ruben Semedo, Nelson Semedo even. It's a tough one. I actually seen him play for Barcelona at Man U, and he was outstanding that night. And that sort of maybe clouded my judgment about him a bit. And I think he has been better in recent months after a pretty shaky start. He did gift Villa 2 points when they went to Molineux, fouled John McGinn for no apparent reason in the box at the last minute. So kudos to him for that. But no, I think I'm going to go with Ewan on this one, just because if you get more, because like you say, the name, if you get a man in from Barcelona to Wolves, although Wolves are on the up, I think he'd be one of their main men rather than just someone who's been all right from this season. Although I think he has shown real signs of improvement, and I think it will prove to be a good signing. I think so far he's been pretty disappointing. But yeah, moving on to centre-back. Alex, who is your first centre-back?
My first centre-back is Harry Maguire. Now, this I think this is a bit bold, but I think when you actually look at Harry Maguire's career, he has done nothing really to say that he isn't a, he's not a world-class centre-back yet. But say if you were talking of United team in the Vidic and Ferdinand days, he would definitely be the third choice over Wes Brown or John O'Shea or anyone else really that they ever had, or Johnny Evans at the time.
What?
At the time, I would still say, wait, he's a better centre back than Johnny Evans now. Well, he is. People just like to say that he's not. And the whole reason that people say Harry Maguire is a much worse player than he is the price tag that Man United bought him for. Now, £80 million is a lot of money. And I think even he would admit that it was too much money. And that's what I think clouds everyone's judgment, in that he was an £80 million player. If he'd have been bought for £40 million, which probably would have been an amount that Leicester would have accepted for him, then he would probably have been considered one of United's best signings over the last 4 years. Because he is, I think everyone would agree that he is their starting centre-back. He's also captain a lot of the time. And his performances for England are always decent as well. For me, he's definitely in my starting centre-back partnership. I think you'd be a fool not to have him and Stones, really. And obviously with his performance in the 2018 World Cup, he showed everyone that he can be a great player. Big threat from corners as well. And I wholeheartedly believe that if it wasn't for the price tag, he would be considered one of United's best signings over the last few years. Because also, you can see that United team becoming a bit more of a challenge for the league title and him being a key player in that as they develop as a side.
Yeah, I do think it's a decent shout. I think, as you say, he gets a lot of harsh criticism because of the price tag. And that's to be expected, I suppose, at a club like Man United. But I think there's a lot of people that I wouldn't necessarily agree with, maybe argue that he's overrated. You could make a case from in both camps, I feel. But Ewan, who have you gone for?
Well,
it'd be interesting if he says Harry Maguire, wouldn't it?
Would.
Well, I've got the pick of two, obviously, but I'll go with the first one on my sheet. And you might not agree with this. He is a good player. I like him. A Brighton player, actually, which is bold of me to put in an overrated 11. But I've gone for Ben White. I think he was really good for Bielsa and Bielsa's boys last season. And they obviously wanted him permanently. And he's been decent this season, playing across multiple positions. He's good on the ball. And he's a good English young centre-back that may play for England one day and be good for us. However, he was touted around with a £50 million price tag. And that puts him in the same bracket as people like Dayot Upamecano, Ibrahim Konate, Jules Koundé, some of the best young centre-backs in the world. And he also gets... there's also like people saying like... Because he's got that price tag on his head, people, anytime like Liverpool or Man U or whoever's talking about getting a new centre-back, he's always one of the names that's bought into it. But like, I just don't think he's anywhere near that level of some of the ones that have proven it in top five leagues for multiple years, or even younger than him, have proven it in the Champions League, have just done more impressive things throughout their career. And yeah, I'm sure he will be a good player, and I do think he's decent, but he's just absolutely not... I think he's overrated in that sense, and just don't think he's quite as good as those ones.
Yeah, no, good shout for me, I think. Like you say, one sort of great season with Leeds last year seems to have got people carried away. The one thing I would say about his value is that him being English probably adds 10 or 15 million on. But yeah, even so, you look at the company you mentioned, some arguably world-class defenders in there, or at least will be.
Or they're already the finished product. And like, obviously, yeah, there's English tax, but... He just isn't. He's
asked, I think.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think, like, I don't know with Brighton, because they've got like this sort of, and I would kind of understand it. I could see where they're coming from. Like, they're sort of perceived to be little old Brighton, and they think their players don't get picked because they play for Brighton. If you know what I mean. Which I don't think is really the case with Southgate. Maybe you can make that case for Lewis Dunk, but with someone like Ben White, with their limited experience, Yeah, and he's just never, I've never like been amazed by him. I think he's a tidy player and I think he will be a good player, but as you say, certainly not worthy of that company yet. And with Maguire, I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Alex, in that take away the price tag and the Man U captain's armband and we probably think a lot more of him. But equally, I don't think, I sort of feel like we have to start him for England because of that price tag. And I don't think he necessarily is starting quality. Part of me is still a bit salty that Gary Neville said he'd be a bigger loss to England than Harry Kane.
That didn't help my argument.
yeah.
Being completely honest, I wasn't pleased when I was making this team and I saw that.
Yeah, I think John Stones is a much better player. So yeah, I'm going to go for... But... you've both met... No, I'm going to go for Ben White. Ben White is over.
Okay, that's fair enough. I would say that is a better shout, to be honest. I do think Ewan's picked well there.
But yeah, Alex, who have you gone for your other centre-back?
This has made me realise that this is... I've broke the sort of potential we talked about having the guideline of no players from two teams. You know, from the only one player from a team. I've done it twice. But my... Another West Ham player as my other centre-back. Maybe because of the West Brom ties, Craig Dawson. There is no way that this guy gets the praise he deserves. If it wasn't for the fact that he hadn't played for West Brom before, he was so good at the Albion. He played right back for 4 years when he's a centre-back and put in stellar performances every week. He scored I think he scored 19 goals in his career, which for a centre-back is a lot considering he's only about 27, 28. And he... Whenever he was at the Albion as well, on the ball, he was not a bad player. And then we saw a bit at Watford. He didn't get much time at Watford. But obviously, I don't think it was him being the reason they went down. Watford had bigger issues. And then he signed for West Ham. And I think West Ham fans will agree. He's been great for them. He's been so... He's such a rock. Like, I never back him to lose a header, ever. He always wins his headers. And he's, like, the... His distribution is phenomenal. He's also kept a clean sheet in 25% of the matches that he's played in, which is quite ridiculous considering he's a centre-back who's only played... The best team he's played for is this West Ham side, and he's played for West Brom sides who were finishing... We finished 10th once, whereas we... The rest of them, it was sort of a fight in relegation and then a fight in relegation with Watford, and he still managed to keep a clean sheet in 25% of those matches. I think Craig Dawson is hugely underrated and he's sort of at that same level as maybe like James Tarkowski and Ben Mee or Harry Maguire. He's sort of at that same level, but I think because they've been doing it for teams that are maybe get a bit more show for England in that sense, that he's never really had the chance to play for them. He was also in the Olympics side. So, you know, he's clearly always been class. So yeah, that's my second centre back, Craig Dawson.
Yeah, Ewan, I feel like you're going to find it tough to argue against Craig Dawson. I know how you feel about him. You feel quite passionately about him. But who have you gone for as your overrated second centre back?
I feel like this shout may get sat back down straight away by you. However, even though you
I know who he said, and I do agree that he is overrated.
Even though you,
I think I know who it is as well.
I'm gonna try and make the case. So I've gone for Tyrone Mings. So recently, I do believe the narrative has started to shift, and Mings has faced a little bit of criticism. However, for now, he's still in the England setup, and by some is called to be starter, and people believe he should definitely be in the squad, like he's a guaranteed name sort of thing. But before his move to Villa, he had just 10 starts in the Premier League in 4 years. He was blighted by injury, I believe, but ultimately hadn't done much in his career, really. Then at 25, he had a loan move to Villa, played 15 games, and was important for Villa's promotion. But was he really an over £20 million player that's had, about 30 games in the past 4 years? I don't believe so. It is an astronomically high fee for me. And then when he's come to the Premier League, he's been okay. I think last season he was all right. I know you give him a lot of praise, but for me, he always seems quite shaky and has a lot of errors in him. This season, like the clean sheets are undeniable. However, I believe they're more to do with Martinez and Konsa, and also somewhat to do with the shape that Smith has in defence, which I think like doesn't really get talked about too much, like how Smith sort of ensures his players line up, and they always seem very tough to break down, I think, Villa. And he's older than John Stones, the same age as Harry Maguire, and I don't see him as the level of player that should be getting on shortlist to go to Man United. I think it was recently on a shortlist, and like it's like he's fairly old. And for the price they'd have to pay for him, he just wouldn't be worth that. I do think he's okay, and I think he's proved that he's a Premier League level defender. But for me, he's overrated in the fact that I don't think he's a guaranteed for England. I don't necessarily think he was worth his money, although price tags, like, although that has been my argument for Ben White, I don't think price tags are necessarily the whole deal, because a price tag has so many different determinants and is ultimately however much you're willing to pay. But I don't know, for me, there's players with sort of more experience at this level and higher levels, and even younger. And so I think they should probably get a look in. But yeah, there we go. Tyrone Mings.
Yeah, although I don't agree, I do see where you're coming from to an extent. I was surprised when he got his first England call-up at how soon it came. But it's also a position where England don't have a lot of standout players, and he offers something different. I think being left-footed, 6'5", and absolutely rapid will certainly help your case. Probably got the best abs I've ever seen as well.
I don't know. You've spent a lot of time around me.
When Mings...
nice.
That is true. But when Mings came into the Villa team, when we're in the Championship, he completely changed the complexion of that team. We went from being a gung-ho sort of score a lot of goals, but we will concede a few, to being one of the best teams in the Championship in that period. And that was ultimately why we went up. And I think that's why he cost a lot, because Bournemouth knew how much we'd want him. And I thought you'd be more sympathetic of a sort of come from nowhere argument, Ewan. I thought you'd quite enjoy that, the mortgage advisor angle. And look what Virgil van Dijk was doing when he was 25 as well, if you know what I mean. I'm not comparing him to Van Dijk, of course. But no, I think that he has come under some criticism from Villa fans this year. And ultimately, I think part of that isn't helped by the fact that Konsa has been pretty flawless. And as you say, Martinez has been strong as well. But yeah, for me, he's still the leader of that line. I think he's had a good influence on Konsa, although I think Konsa is probably technically more gifted. Yeah, and the number of clean sheets is tough to argue with. And a lot of times last year, I think he played well for like 85 minutes, if you know what I mean. And then sort of we'd get tied down by not having any of the ball because we're a pretty poor side and we'd make an error. But no, there's some strength in the shout, I think, certainly around England. But yeah, I'm going to go for Craig Dawson, which I don't think you'll be overly disappointed with either.
Not at all.
I think... probably certainly younger than I thought, and maybe if you had the boyish good looks of John Stones or someone like that, we'd regard him a bit higher. But as you say, there's a lot of the sort of old-fashioned defending, if you like, and if you look at his impact on the West Ham team since coming into the side around Christmas, he's been superb for them, really.
I actually would say that Craig Dawson does have the good back. Looks.
You do love your balding men. Yeah. You do love your balding men, Alex.
I do love a balding man.
Yeah, moving on to left back, who have you gone for, Rigatoni?
So another one that I'm not too sure of whether you like, but I've gone for Benjamin Mendy. It might be a little bit late to be calling him overrated. I think that ship might have sailed maybe 6 months ago or so. He obviously came in for a big fee to Man City, but he just hasn't really done much. I think this year, or like occasionally, I think what happens is he'll play decently for a couple games and get a goal, and people will think, oh no, he actually is like a good left back. But whenever he plays, I never think is amazing. I think Zinchenko does a better job, who was a £1.5 million pound midfield signing. And I think he's probably got Mendy's shirt, really. And Mendy is meant to be the one that is the nailed-on starter. I just don't think he's an amazing left-back. I don't think he was worth the fee at all. I think he's an all-right player, but even if he was at a team like, if he was at Villa or something, I'd think, oh my God, he's so much better than like a mid-table side. I don't think he'd really stand out to me. And I think this year, I've probably heard more about his alleged sex parties than his actual performances, bar popping up and getting the occasional goal. I just don't think I've ever watched him and thought that he's a top-class defender, really.
A lot of that I agree with, I must say. But Alex, who do you regard to be underrated in the left-back department?
Well, I'm going to go for Connor Townsend. Now, it might be bold going for a defender for the team who have conceded the most goals in the Premier League this season. However, Connor Townsend has been one of the few bright spots of our season as a West Brom fan. Now, when we first signed him in our first year in the Championship, he was just Kieran Gibbs' backup. He was fine. He did nothing wrong, did nothing right, in terms of like doing anything particularly exciting. And then last year, as Gibbs played less, as he got worse and got more injuries, Townsend started playing more and sort of keeping Gibbs out the side a bit. And then this season, I think a lot of us West Brom fans were still hoping that Gibbs might sort of come into his own a bit more and show that Premier League experience that we lacked quite a lot of. But then after his red card against Everton, I don't think he's really played since, and because Connor Townsend kept him out the side. Now, Kieran Gibbs is a player who's played in the Champions League and was always good for West Brom. Never really did well. He was arguably one of our best players at certain times, but Connor Townsend kept him out that side because he just does everything right. He never loses the ball. He had a great performance against Chelsea the other day. Didn't get beaten once, and he had a really big part to play in Diang's goal. His movement down the left side is great. His delivery is phenomenal. And I never think, oh shit, that goal was Connor Townsend's fault. He's been, I would say, our second best player this year. And I know that we've had very few players who have been good, but I think that still counts for something. And he never gets talked about, even by, I would say, West Brom fans underrate him, let alone teams from other fans of clubs elsewhere in the league.
I see what you're saying there. West Brom players don't seem to get overly held in high regard.
There is a reason.
Yeah, naturally, I suppose. And I'll be honest, I haven't seen a lot of him. As we make an attempt to cover every game between us, and I know that either one of you will be watching West Brom, I don't watch a great deal of them, and I can't face watching another Championship game after Villa's 3 years in it. But I think as you say, I've never seen a West Brom goal and a goal at West Brom conceded. He's been wildly at fault, if at all, really. I like the argument about Kieran Gibbs as well, because Kieran Gibbs is someone I would have happily had at Villa for a couple of years now. And to be keeping him out of the team is some going. I know Gibbs has always been quite injury prone, but he's still a top player. I think you can see that when he does play.
Gibbs has always shown his class at points, but he's never performed consistently at the level, I would say.
Do you want, if I was doing the underrated squad, a little bit of a sweetener for you here, I would have gone for Matt Target gig.
See, I'm not a huge Target fan. I'm really not. He gets put in the same...
Doesn't matter anyway.
No, but while we're on it, I mean, he gets put in that... Everyone talks about Target and Cash. Mate, Cash is so much better than him in every department, I think. But he is solid Target, yeah. But with Mendy, coming back to the actual suggestion, I was sort of the opinion he'd been very unlucky with injuries, and I sort of give him the chance until recently, and you watch him play and he is flaky, and I think in a team with less of the ball, he'd get found out a lot more. He is superb going forward, and I think that's a lot of why City bought him. I think his performances for Monaco when they had City in the Champions League were a big factor in that. And although price tags are quite subjective based on contracts and stuff, it does give you a pretty good indication as to how a player is rated. And in fact, he's been kept out of the team by Zinchenko, who's been very solid this year. And the emergence of João Cancelo and obviously the longevity of Walker on the other side, I think it's going to be hard for him to break back into that team, really. And of course, there is that meme of him with the World Cup in France, to which he contributed none, effectively. But yeah, I think it feels a bit slack because I don't know a lot about Townsend, but I think I'm going to go for Mendy. Although, because of his injuries, I feel like his prolonged absence, he's not overly rated, I wouldn't say, but he is still, there's still a lot of question marks about him. I can only apologise, Alex. Maybe if I'd seen more of him, I would put him in there. But, you know, let's shit on Ben Mendy for a bit, you know. Who did we go to last time?
So Alex is first this time.
Okay, so Alex, give me your holding midfielder. We'll work our way.
So my holding midfielder is Harrison Reed. Now, I think this is a pretty good shout, Harrison Reed. He just seems, every time I watch him play, he's always got the ball so often. He always seems to find space to collect it as well. And he seems to be a very good bridge from the defence to attack. And I think in a better side as well, he'd be much more effective in the role he plays. I think that maybe he could move on to someone, maybe sort of Leeds if Calvin Phillips was to move on. I think he could do that job pretty well. His distribution but with the long balls is great.
You need a man bun to go to Leeds, but yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, he can grow it out, but I'm not sure how good a ginger man bun would look.
Very.
He's also surprisingly quick as well, and he's got a decent set-piece delivery on him, because he takes corners and the sort of longer-range free kicks for Fulham. And his delivery isn't really something you can massively fault. It's not phenomenal. It's no, you know, James Ward-Prowse, but if I was a Fulham fan, I wouldn't be like, oh shit, like it's a corner, we're not going to, like, it's not going to get past the first man. And yeah, I really think, because I watched him at Southampton before he joined Fulham, and he always seemed very important in that, like, that transition from defence to attack and being able to receive the ball in that defensive third and, like, spray it out wide to someone who's in space, and he just seems to do that flawlessly. And I think he is someone who flies under the radar because he doesn't score many goals, and he's not really kind of man to get loads of assists either because of the role he plays, but I really think he's a really good Premier League quality player.
I absolutely agree. I'll be honest, Ewan, you might struggle to top this one because I am a big fan, and I don't know if it's because, like, the sort of expectation of him is less, but I look at, like, Declan Rice, and I don't think he's far off that, some of the things he can do. I think Declan Rice is quite limited, and I'm always sort of, he's just a bit sharper, Harrison Reed, I find. He looks a bit more comfortable. And I look at Fulham's midfield. They've got Anguissa as well, who I think is excellent. Lamina as well is another useful player. I think that's reflected in the chances they create. I think they've got the worst shot conversion in the league, which obviously tells you that the creation is there. It's the end product that is missing. And yeah, if he got into the England team, it might sound a bit of an outside shout, but I'd very much like to see him in the England team. I was a little bit surprised at how old he was. I believe he's like 25. He was at Southampton for a long time and didn't really play. I don't know if he's improved a lot, but it feels like he might have been a bit underused there. I know they've got Ward-Prowse and Romeo, who are very important for them, but I certainly thought he would have played more there. But yeah, on the flip side, Ewan, you're holding midfielder. I feel like... I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know, because I feel like you might have been trying to stick to one club, but then I also sort of know how you feel about Rodri.
No, so I don't feel too strongly about Rodri. I think it would be I think he's a very good player, but he's probably not quite on the level of your Fabinho's or Kante's. No. That's fair enough. I haven't gone for Rodri. I've gone for someone I think is also overrated. Well, no, I don't think Rodri's overrated, but yeah. I've actually gone for Jorginho, who...
Okay.
I'm not too sure, because he's a player that I could potentially see you liking in some ways. However, for me, he's just so slow, gets caught out on the time all the time. He's probably only there to suit managers of past. And I don't know how he's still playing, because every time he plays, I just think he looks weak, fairly poor. He's just so average for me. I think he never does anything that particularly impresses me. He's all right on the ball, but he's not a strong tackler. People can get past him so easily. There's that funny video where the ref runs back quicker than Jorginho. I just think he's...
Yeah, man, memes are the reason why he should be classed as overrated.
No, but I just think that Jorginho is such an average Premier League midfielder. And I think most Chelsea fans, when they see his name on the team sheet, they get a bit deflated and they're like, oh, what have we done to have this when we could have N'Golo running the strings and just being a true bowler? Yeah, like I think the players around him are brilliant. Like, your other options. I know you're not the most massive Mason Mount fan, but I think like the other midfield options, like Kovacic and Kante, are just so much better than him. I think Jorginho is a real weak link in that team, and the team gets significantly worse when you have to take one of them out and put Jorginho in. So Jorginho for me is quite overrated.
Yeah, this is a tough one, because I wouldn't say he's particularly rated, if you know what I mean. But then he has been quite a prominent fixture for Chelsea. And I don't think that there's anything he does that Kovacic can't do. I think Kovacic played a bit higher up the pitch when Chelsea played in the midfield three. But I think he could have done the job of the six just as well, and probably better. And then, of course, Kante on his day is probably still the best holding midfielder in the world. And you do sort of feel... like he was sort of brought in as Sarri's sort of general to embody how he played. And obviously that didn't work out. But yeah, you do feel if he was a club lower down, would we really notice him? What would he bring? Especially when he's needed to defend more, like you say, he's not particularly physical. But then it is tough with holding midfielders, arguably the toughest, because they do a lot of unseen stuff that you don't really notice. But yeah, I don't think he's worthy of a place in Chelsea's starting team, which obviously doesn't necessarily make him a bad player. But no, I think I'm a big Harrison Reed fan, so I think I'm gonna go for him on this one. Although I do agree that Jorginho has never really stood out to me. Try and win me over with your next centre mid, Ewan.
Okay.
I'll let you go left or right. That's how relaxed I am.
Well, I suppose it's Alex that gets the advantage of knowing who I go for and thinking who can beat him. But yeah, I've gone for a player who this might be disliked a little bit by you, Alex. Actually, no, I think I know your opinion on him. I've gone for Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
I'm so. I don't even know my own opinion on Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
I think he's a decent player. It was at the start of the season, he was in the England squads, and I think that has elevated his name so much higher than it really should be. He wasn't able to get much game time under Arteta this season. He couldn't take what was a very, very out of form Bellerin's position in the team. I think like after Bellerin's come back from his injury, he's not been particularly sharp and has been called to be dropped. But even Maitland-Niles hasn't been able to overtake that and get regular game time. He was doing quite well last season, I thought, and he was a tidy player. But to be in England's squad and he's versatile or whatever, and that adds to him. But compared to the calibre of right backs we have, because he was probably in there as a right back, but obviously a bit of versatility too. Like, he's just not anywhere near the ones that we have, and like, we shouldn't be wasting a slot on him, I don't think. He's then gone to West Brom and he's looked okay. like our team has improved, but I don't think it's necessarily down to him. I think Yukuzlu does most of the dirty work, is an excellent player. And I think Maitland-Niles has been okay at West Brom, but I wouldn't be particularly sad if he wasn't playing. I think Conor Gallagher's shown a lot more than Maitland-Niles, but because Maitland-Niles has been played a fair amount of time at a top Big Six club and also been in the England setup, people probably rate Maitland-Niles a lot more. I think that as a midfielder, if he wants to be a midfielder, obviously he's still young, but he won't be a prominent midfielder in teams much higher than West Brom. I think he'll probably be maybe you do a job in somewhere like Southampton or Brighton or somewhere like he probably air level. Obviously his versatility adds to him, but yeah, I just think he's nowhere near good enough yet to be a Big Six player, like a significant Big Six player. He might get there one day, but yeah, that's why I think Ainsley Maitland-Niles is overrated.
I agree with a lot of what you said. He's by no means, he is still quite young, but he's 23 as well, you know, and I think he is, in a sense, he is still quite young. He is still quite young, but ultimately he is 23. And you look at what Saka's doing since the age of 18 at Arsenal. I think in a sense, he's a bit of a victim of his own versatility alliteration. In the sense that we don't really know what his best position is. And sometimes you see that with players, they sort of drop down to play a position where they think they're better. It was a bit like that, different sort of stage of his career, but Micah Richards. when he came to Villa, he sort of came on the premise that he would play centre-back. And I think when they come from big clubs, they sort of feel like they have that power. But we don't really know his best position. It's a strong shout, definitely. But Alex, who have you gone for as one of your underrated central midfielders?
So I feel like I could choose from two, but I feel like to keep it on the West Brom side of things, I'm going to go with Conor Gallagher. Now,
well, I've already done half your argument for you. I've said that Conor Gallagher is the reason.
That's why I picked him, and I thought it'd be fair to do it that way. So Conor Gallagher, for me, has been West Brom's best player, hence why I hinted at Townsend being our second best player this season. Conor Gallagher, he scored the winning goal in one of our only wins against Sheffield with a great left-footed volley, and he's not left-footed. He is one of the most box-to-box midfielders you'll ever see, and he does not stop running. His distance covered is insane. I can't remember what it was, but he's covered the most for any West Brom player this season. And considering he's only a lone player, you'd think maybe he wouldn't have the same passion that maybe, I don't know, Jake Livermore might have, who is the club captain and been there for a long time. But he seems to give more of a shit than anyone else in that side. He's got that competitive edge that you need to maybe get when you're going to go on and play for a club like Chelsea, hopefully in the future. I do think he's got that potential. I don't know if he'll fully realise being... I don't think he'll ever be a key player for Chelsea, but I think he'll definitely be someone who is always in and around the first team. Sort of maybe like a Michael Essien sort of level.
That would be some good things still.
I don't know. Well, he could be. I'm not saying he is now. No. Huh? Yeah, well...
No, but Essien's the GOAT. Essien is the GOAT.
Okay, maybe... I don't know. Maybe John Obi Mikel then.
Still pretty bold, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying he's at that level now, but I'm saying he can definitely get to that level of sort of maybe 10, 15 starts a season for Chelsea and definitely deserves that.
Michael Essien.
Deserves to go make the Niles just for that.
He's only 20 and I mean, we saw he's not even rated by AD Boothroyd. Now, I know AD Boothroyd is not exactly the best judge in the world, but the fact that he's on the bench when Ollie Skip is playing for the England under 21s is ridiculous, alongside Curtis Jones, who should also be starting in that side, I would say. And also, he's been linked with moves to
a £9 million move to Palace. I think that does show that he's underrated.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think he's worth at least 15 for a young English talent who has really performed for West Brom. He's been so, he creates so much for us, and defensively, so he's always there. He's always there to close down a man.
Dives and a lot. In fact,
he does dive a little bit, which is something I don't particularly like about his game. Also, he is absolutely stunning. He's got bloody lovely flowing blonde locks, and he's also got an absolute corker of a girlfriend, if anyone wants to know, which I think should help his case. But yeah, as we touched on before, a £9 million move to Palace is absolutely ridiculous. He should definitely be playing for a side better than Palace, and the fact that Chelsea would let him go for £9 million is criminal to me. So yeah, one of my underrated central midfielders is Conor Gallagher.
Okay, I think it's a tricky one in a sense that I don't think Ainsley Maitland-Niles is raved about, although like you say, I think the England call-up was pretty baffling for me. Although, yes, he can cover different positions, but is he good enough for England in any of them? Yeah, and I think there is a sort of general appreciation of what Conor Gallagher can do, but as you say, like the rumours of only Palace being in for him. I think when Villa did play West Brom, he was the only one who sort of, I know the forwards were pretty starved of service, but he was the only one who sort of stood out to me from the West Brom team as a quality player. And every time I've watched West Brom, I do quite enjoy watching him. I think Ewan sent me some statistics about him quite early on about his tackles and interceptions per 90 or something, and he was up there in the top five leagues. And it's interesting, having just talked about Jorginho, I think he's probably a better player than Jorginho, to be fair, or certainly has more of an impact. I think he's an excellent player, and I think I'm going to have to go with him because every time I've seen him, I am impressed by him, and I'd agree he has been West Brom's best player this season.
Thank you. One thing I would like to say in support of Ewan, or maybe not in support, I would say that Arsenal fans definitely overrate Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I'm just not sure about everyone else.
Arsenal fans overrate everyone.
You do hear about the Arsenal youngsters, and yeah, they've got Saka and Smith Rowe, but then they're on about Maitland-Niles and Joe Willock as well, and that, like, saying that they're, well, where are anyone else's youngsters on the same level as ours?
Yeah, and Martinelli in like the Greenwood debate, despite his permanent injuries.
Yeah,
I've barely seen Martinelli play just because he's injured that often. But you know, let's not trigger any AFTV fans because then we could be in trouble. But Alex, you're other centre mid.
So my final midfield, and I also think that this would be a very nice midfield three. Tanguy Ndombele, I think that he is a fucking phenomenal player. I don't think he's realised his full potential, sort of similar to Conor Gallagher at Tottenham. However, I think he's really shown that he can do anything. He's a complete midfielder. I think there has been criticisms of his fitness and sometimes like his effort, and I think that's maybe a bit harsh. I think it's more that he doesn't look, because he's not ridiculously quick. He's by no means slow, but I think maybe sometimes he doesn't look like he's putting in the effort, whereas he is. His distance covered is by no means ridiculously low. He also can pick the ball up very deep down and bring the ball forward very quickly. That doesn't really get used much in the Tottenham team, but whenever, because of that sort of Dier and Sissoko midfield as well. However, I think that he always performs better when he's in that midfield than those two. Also, that goal he scored where he did that flip was an absolute stunner. And I think there's a lot more to see from him. And I think that in the next few years, he'll really be a key part of the Tottenham squad, especially if they do keep hold of Kane and Son. And I think that he really is someone who, I wouldn't really be the biggest fan of Tottenham's recruitment over the last few years, but this is one that I definitely think they've got right and is definitely a player who can hold his own at sort of a Champions League level. And I think as I touched on before, there's a lot of different aspects of his game that I would sort of stand by.
Yeah, very good shout. Very good shout. Ewan, in terms of overrated?
So I've gone for a player that I don't think I need to say too much about, but I've gone for Luka Milivojevic. I think he's an okay player, but he's rated highly because his goals and assists are usually fairly decent for a midfielder, but he's just a bit of a penalty merchant, bit of a set-piece merchant. He doesn't really do much other than that. I think he's an okay player, but I don't think he's great. I think Palace is not one of like Palace's best players, and that his stats do get padded by being their set piece taker, which you have to obviously score. But I think that leads people to believe his a higher level midfielder than he actually is. So yeah,
he does have an 80 rating on FIFA, which is a bit ridiculous, to be fair.
Yeah.
And it's an Ollie Forder on that one.
Our junior correspondents who tell us the score. But yeah, Luka Milivojevic, just think he's pretty average. Although,
I think what I'm hearing is a lot of salt after Milivojevic scored the winner against West Brom a couple of weeks ago. I'll be honest. He does score a lot of penalties, and his success rate is very good. But I've never heard him discussed in a brilliant regard. If we're talking about overrated central midfield pen merchants, he's not the one I'd be on about, I'll be honest.
Well, he's already mentioned the other one.
Jorginho.
Well, I was pushing more for Bruno, but that's another debate.
It's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, but no, I think I'm going to have to go with the person that Alex said, and Ndombele. That was it.
We all rave about Ndombele. Who doesn't rave about Ndombele?
No, I think Ndombele is a lot of stick.
Who raves about Milivojevic, though? That was my question.
No. If you ask someone on the street, who's Palace's like second best player? Obviously, Wilf Zaha's you first. I reckon most people are going to go, oh, probably Milivojevic. That is a good player, isn't he?
I do actually agree with what you were saying there. Well, yeah, maybe Gary before Eze joined.
Yeah. I can't believe Alex is going to have got the clean sweep from the midfield.
I have got a clean sweep. To be fair, though, I think my midfield three as a trio is a bloody lovely. I could see that really working well together.
And Ndombele, his talent is undeniable. His performances are good. They're not amazing. I think we rate him just fine. He's a very, very good player, and he sometimes is excellent. And,
hey, stop arguing against mine. I didn't do that for yours. I've backed you here.
I know what he's saying. Like, there is a general acceptance of how talented he is. You'd sort of be a fool not to. And I do think if you said I could be any player in the Premier League, I reckon I'd be Tanguy Ndombele, because the man is built like an absolute brick shithouse. But he's got the feet to play his way out of any situation possible. He's
the new Moussa Dembélé.
Got the odd screamer in his locker. And I think he's the perfect foil alongside a sort of enforcer like Højbjerg. Yes, you can question his defensive work, but you can also question the entire back five behind him. And I think with in front of a genuinely good defence, and I've said it before, it's like Pogba at Man U. He's not allowed that freedom because of the players behind him. He's expected to do more work. And I think, it's a testament to France's depth, really, that he's only got, I think he's got 7 caps for them. I have looked that up. I didn't know that off the top of my head. But I think he'd walk into the England team, if you know what I mean. And that is what gets me a bit anxious about the Euros. But Tanguy Ndombele is our underrated midfielder. He did come for a big price tag, but if Spurs are paying big money for someone, like, you would expect them to be good because they don't typically spend a lot. But
is he underrated?
No,
he's
a fantastic
50 odd million pound midfielder.
I've never heard anyone rave about Luka Milivojevic.
Oh, I don't know if you well, you don't watch many Palace games, do you?
Evidently, I do think just on Palace, like, they are probably the least covered club in the Premier League. But yeah, I think clubs like Palace get a lot of stick. Well, there aren't a lot of clubs like them, but what's wrong with just being a solid mid-table team, I think? You look at like Stoke for a few years, and then they sort of tried to kick on with all that Bet365 money, and now they're a mid-table championship side at best. And I quite like a club that sort of knows this is its limit. I think Steve Parrish, is it? Or is he the match of the day commentator? They sort of like know their limitations. They don't spend an awful amount of money, but when they do, they spend it well. And I just think they get a lot of harsh credit. But we've gone off topic a bit there. So Ewan, give me your right winger for this.
Oh, so have you gone for thingy?
I've gone for Ndombele, yeah.
Oh.
There you are, Ewan.
I was just on the Palace.
Need one more to win it.
Although
I do think I'm going to struggle, actually. My front three might be a little bit...
I don't know. The next... there's a couple of my front three that I think George is going to be anti. So for my right winger, I've used a little bit of creative license to put him as a right winger. Sometimes plays as a left winger, sometimes plays as a striker, occasionally might play off the right. I've gone for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. If you ask a lot of people who are the best players in the Premier League, Aubameyang's probably like on their heads quite quickly. However, for me, he's nowhere near the level of the people that he gets mentioned in the same breath as. It's slowed down a little bit now because of recent performances and some outstanding performances from others. But like a year or two ago, people were saying, oh yeah, Aubameyang's way better than Kane. Aubameyang's like one of the best strikers in the world. But he just isn't. He gets goals, fair enough, he does. It's undeniable. His goal record is good. However, he doesn't add much more to the team. Doesn't chip in. He doesn't have like a great work rate. And for me, he isn't like a ridiculously amazing talismanic figure that you like when you've got on your team. You think, man, we can really control this game. We can really do amazing. I think he's someone that you look at and be like, oh yeah, like he'll probably get a goal. Like he's a good player. But is he like, he's struggling to get in the team ahead of Lacazette, who a lot of people, I think, give a bit of unfair slander. I know he didn't do particularly well against Slavia Prague, but I think he's a fine striker. And I think he's probably all-round game is probably just as good, if not better, than Aubameyang's. Like, people give Aubameyang this like really high rating because he's just a rapid, decent striker that gets a fair few goals. But then I think he didn't get as many goals last season. I think he got as many goals last season as Danny Ings. Like he was doing quite well in the Bundesliga, but he never got as many goals. Or I think Timo Werner beat Aubameyang's goals in the Bundesliga. As I said, he's obviously a good player, but I think he's massively overrated in that people put him as like they'd probably still put him like if you're asking them off the top of their head like as one of the Premier League's best players when for me he just isn't. But yeah, over to you.
I don't know, I don't think I'd put him in one of the Premier League's top players, but in terms of like out and out goal scoring, I think he probably would still be up there. But Alex, who have you gone for?
My right winger is Mohamed Salah. Now I know that I might be a bit unlucky here in that I'm going towards someone who is very anti-Liverpool. However, Mohamed Salah has genuinely got to be regarded so far as one of the best players in the Premier League era because he's played 150 games in the Premier League and he's 7 off the 100 club already. He's got the record for the most goals in a Premier League season. That's more than Shearer or Henry. And that was only in 36 games as well. He scored 32 goals in 36 games. Obviously, he's won a Champions League, a league title, which if he's not Liverpool's most important player in that, he's their second most important player behind Van Dijk. There is no way that there's really anyone in his position on his level in the Premier League. Not really in the world, apart from Messi, like as a right winger. Maybe you could argue Sancho, but I think Salah is a better player. And he's got 18 goals this season and everyone seems to be saying that he's got a bad year. He's got 18 goals in 29 games and he's got, I can't remember how many assists, but he is honestly one of the best wingers to ever grace the Premier League. Arguably the best winger. The only person I think you could argue being better than him in the Premier League era as a winger would probably be Hazard, at least in the last 10 years.
Henry, probably, if
No, Henry was more of a striker. Yeah, Henry was a striker. Ryan Gibbs' trophy cabinet might not, but personal Ronaldo. Accolades.
Ronaldo.
Yeah, but again, the last 10 years, I've got you both there.
You said Premier League era.
Well, in the last statement I said in changed it to last 10 years.
Premier
because
League
I realised that there will be a...
Very niche. Yeah.
Last 10 years is a very Sterling. Broad period. Oh, he's much better than Sterling. The amount of goals he's got. The fact that he's not considered, one of the best players... He's the best African player ever. I think you could argue that.
Yaya Touré.
He's better than Yaya Touré. Apart from, what he's done in his career.
Yaya Touré was a baller, bro.
Yaya Touré was a baller. Mohamed Salah's still got... Yeah, but Salah's still got more to show. And Salah's done... Salah is more important to Liverpool than Drogba was for Chelsea. He is Liverpool's arguably most important player, except for Van Dijk. And there is no way that they would be anywhere near the level that they're at without him. And the fact that he's not regarded as one of the greatest Premier League players ever, and the fact that he gets sort of forgotten about right now, despite 18 goals this season, is just ridiculous to me. And he is world class and he needs to be put that in higher esteem.
Tough one. Yeah, because best players ever is sort of not... Yeah, it's not really a mantra you give someone until they're nearing the end of their career. I think you're starting to see that with Aguero now. That said, I think Aubameyang has been one of the best strikers in the world in recent years. His goal record for Dortmund was pretty ridiculous and took to the Premier League like a duck to water. Scored a lot of goals for Arsenal. I appreciate he doesn't do a great deal of work off the ball, and his link-up play is nowhere near the level of someone like Kane's. And I think the comparisons are more sort of salty Arsenal fans than anything, if you know what I mean. But he is a serial goal scorer, and I think there was in very poor Arsenal teams as well. I think you always felt they might get something out of the game because he could nick a goal if Arsenal would give him the chance. I know what you're saying. Salah isn't sort of seen in maybe the bracket that he should be. But I don't know. He's one of them, he's not as good to watch as a Hazard. You wouldn't necessarily watch Liverpool to watch Salah, if you know what I mean. And Alisson and Van Dijk have been huge for him, but obviously it's Salah that gets the brunt of the goals. And I think in his time at Liverpool, I think at least up until recently, only Messi had more goal contributions in Europe. And he's... The one thing I would say about Salah is he plays as a very, very narrow winger, if you know what I mean, with Firmino dropping in. Although he's been poor this season, I'm still of the opinion that Aubameyang is an excellent finisher.
He's an excellent finisher, but he's a pacey, great, good finisher. He's not that much more than it. He is overrated. I know you said it's salty Arsenal fans, but I think it was a lot of people. It's probably only this year that people would definitely go, oh no, Kane obviously over Aubameyang. But before that, everyone was a lot of people would have been Aubameyang's sick. Aubameyang's, maybe it's because the Arsenal fan base is so big that you hear it more. But
no, but up until, although Kane's passing's always been excellent, he wasn't really getting the assist on top of the goals until this season.
No, but as a player, for me, Kane was still that 2017 most goals in a calendar year. He's serial baller all the time.
But then Aubameyang came to the Prem, never played in England, and just settled in so well and scored so many goals.
I guess he's a goal scorer, but for me, he's just not one of the best in the Premier League. I know a lot of people would rate him.
He's one of the best. I still think he's one of the best finishers in the league.
Oh, one of the best finishers, maybe, but not one of the best players, I'd say. Level up the scores a bit.
That is in the back of my mind, but I think
you shouldn't do it for that case. You should just do it on who makes a better.
Let me finish. I think Salah is one of the few Liverpool players I can sort of get behind, if you know what I mean. And I think he is. Although I think we all agree he's world class. We don't really hold him in as high esteem as we should.
We do. Everyone thinks he's a world class bowler. Everyone thinks he's unreal.
No, I said that. I think everyone thinks he's world class, but I don't know if he's. Yeah, I don't think anyone's looking at him as a potential great of the Premier League. If you know what I mean,
and he should.
I don't know. I am. and a lot of people.
Yeah, all right, mate. All right, mate. Shut up, Ewan. Stop trying to argue your case when you've already made a decision.
The determining factor for me is the Arsenal team that Aubameyang's been in. I think we all agree that Robin van Persie is a fantastic player, and in Aubameyang is only 14 goals off of van Persie's Arsenal tally in over 50 less games. So I think if you would have put him in some of that Arsenal teams around the 2009 sort of 10 period where they were gunning for titles and genuine contenders, it's interesting to see what would have happened if he could have torn it.
Struggles to get in the team now. He struggles to get in
now.
And he's probably Arsenal's probably like fifth, sixth most important player, if that.
I think over the last decade, just looking at his stats, so 31 goals in 62 games at Saint-Étienne, or however you pronounce it, 141 goals in 213 games at Dortmund, and then 84 goals in 142 games at Arsenal.
He's obviously a baller, fantastic. But he's not. I just don't like. I think he's not got enough to his game to be on the level of like one of the world's best forwards. Like,
I know what you mean.
He's nowhere near Salah. He's not really near Kane to me. Like, even though, like, obviously we talk about Kane's passing now, he had so much more to his game beforehand. Like, his link-up play was great. Aubameyang, he's got pace and he's got world-class finishing. Everything other than that is a bit of a liability, and I think he is overrated.
Yeah, I feel like you should have said this before.
I think we are moving towards an era where strikers need to do more than just score goals, and I do agree with that. But I think if Aubameyang had scored the sort of goals he had for Dortmund in the Premier League for 5 years, which I don't think would have been beyond him, I think he would very much be a rival candidate for Kane. And he wasn't. I don't think Dortmund were fantastic around that period. They were still sort of recovering from losing Lewandowski and then Gundogan left in that time as well. And he doesn't really have the players around him now that Haaland does, although Haaland's obviously off the scale. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Salah, because although he's excellent and people know it, I think he's more excellent than people think. Go vent about your left winger, Ewan. Who have you gone for?
Is it not Alex first?
Hey, it probably is Alex. It's suitable that we go to Alex for left wing tendencies.
Hey, I like that.
Politics.
So my left winger is Ryan Fraser. Now, Ewan's pulling
a
face.
My internet connection struck cut out as soon as you said their name.
Ryan Fraser. Now,
okay.
Ewan pulled a face there, but I think Ewan's just trying to grab any consolation points at this point, and he's trying to steer your judgment away from my argument. So I would like you to keep your eyes on me, because why wouldn't you want
just
to
just say that? Like, just say any real player, Ewan, and I'll go for you this next one.
So Ryan Fraser is absolutely, like, he's so key for Newcastle. If he hadn't been injured for those 10 or so games, I think they'd be in a much better position. Whenever he plays fit, whenever he was at Bournemouth, I thought he was great. I thought he should definitely be a much better side, because he's always so effective in the way he like can attack players. Like, I think if he's in a team, then you don't really feel that comfortable, because he always, to me, feels like if he gets the ball, he could have a shit game and make something happen. Like, that's not a quality that a lot of players have, especially at the sort of level that that Newcastle and Bournemouth are at. And I don't think he does get much recognition, because goals aren't necessarily his part of the game. It's more the chances he creates and the way he can press players as well with his speed. And also, for a lad who's only about 5'6", he's absolutely shredded. He's also very important for Scotland, and I know kind of negates my argument, if anything. I just think Ryan Fraser is a player who doesn't get the credit he deserves, because I think he could definitely play for a better side than Newcastle. I think he could easily be playing for a team like Leeds, and I think he'd actually benefit that style of play quite well. If Newcastle do go down, I think he should definitely be looking for a move elsewhere.
I do sympathise with the 5'6" man who's absolutely shredded, I'll be honest. He provided a lot of assists for Bournemouth, and they played a lot more adventurous football than Newcastle, which isn't difficult. But Yeah, I think he said quite openly that it, when he was linked, it was either Arsenal or Tottenham he got linked with, and it Tottenham, sort of got to his head. And his performances dropped off quite a bit the following season, but certainly a big part of that Eddie Howe team. And Newcastle looked better for having him in the team, but he wasn't. I was a little bit surprised when you said him, I'll be honest. So, Ewan, now I've given you a chance to cool down.
Yeah.
Who have you gone for?
I'd probably agree with you in the fact, like, Ryan Fraser was linked with
pretty big money
moves to big clubs.
Is he
really underrated? Well, gotta get the consolation now.
Have I done this for any of your players? Actually, you don't even argue your own. Just argue why mine's shit. Like, this tells you that his player's awful.
Okay, I'm gonna preface this selection again because I was given the task of going overrated. I did choose people that are obviously ballers, but maybe thought of as a little bit higher than they should be. And this player is probably, well, he is the best player in my team. He is a serious baller. I'd probably put him just below as a world-class player. I think he is great. I think he's done amazing things. But I've gone for Sadio Mane.
Yeah, I can get behind it.
So as we all know, Sadio Mane is an extremely good player and he's had world-class seasons, I'd say. And it marks him a little bit left field. However, I take massive exception in the fact that he's been in people's world 11s. Some people, quite a lot of people are actually saying that he should, like, he's the third best player in the world and a potential Ballon d'Or candidate. And even some people were like, Sadio Mane is the best player in the world. He isn't.
Well, she doesn't, so she's not.
So, the thing is, Ewan, I'm going to do what you've started doing. Off. I don't think anyone really does do that. I think the only people who do that are deluded Liverpool fans.
Alex, a lot of people were saying for a while that Sadio Mane is the third best player in the world.
I think for about three months, he was on world-class form. But I don't think people are still saying that at all. I don't think people are anywhere near regarding him like that. I think people were regarding him like that while he was hot on form.
I don't think it's a very good look to be punching down. I'm punching up and therefore it's allowed, but you're punching down. You're striking a man when he's down. So in his previous four league campaigns, he got 18 goal contributions, then 17, then 23, then 25, which I'm not going to deny is brilliant. He's a brilliant player, but in the way he was being talked about, like when someone like Mohamed Salah wasn't being talked about like that. Yeah, Alex, back you up there for underrated.
Bit late now, mate.
You look at Mohamed Salah's record and it's so, so much better. It's exceptional. And I think Mane is fortunate in the way that he's offered a lot of good chances playing at Liverpool. It suits him very well. Again, he's a great player, but he's just not as good as a Salah, a Hazard. I'd even potentially put him not quite as good as Rashford. I think, like, for Liverpool, he is very important and he gets a lot of goals. But this season, you've seen him taper off. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's why Salah's kept his record being pretty sick, whereas Mane's has dropped off. I think he was...
tough gets going.
I think he was probably the system made him seem a bit better than he was. And again, I'm going to say again, I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player. Don't want any angry Liverpool fans, but I don't think he's absolutely world-class, would get into any team or anything like that. I think Son is probably better than him. I think Salah's definitely better than him. I think Hazard was better than him when he was in the Premier League. He's more a complete player. I think Mane, I know his numbers have dropped off a lot this season. His defensive work has picked up a bit and he's actually putting more pressures on than Firmino. But maybe that was Firmino dropping off rather than Mane getting better. But yeah, for me, Mane, brilliant player, but he isn't quite third best player in the world, isn't anywhere near that actually. And I'd struggle to call him world class. I think he's a beneficiary of the system.
See, I think that you're overestimating how people rate Martinez.
I don't know. I don't think so. People rate Mane and Salah on the same level. A lot, most people, I think.
I fundamentally disagree that people do that.
I agree with you.
People rate Salah and Mane on the same level, and it's just not true.
And I think Liverpool fans prefer Mane because he comes from a bit more of a humble background. And he's a splendid guy. There's no disputing that. Mm. But I think Jamie Carragher says it a lot. Gary Neville, one of the two GOATs. They always say, like, there's a feeling with Salah that he could always go to a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, like he would always go, whereas Mane came in for a relatively low price. And, Liverpool will be the sort of the epitome of his career, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, and you had me about at least 2 minutes ago, but I enjoyed your case. I did need to get another Ewan playing in my team. I think you've sort of appealed to my ego for a bit, because even when Sane was at his best, I never really sort of held him in the regard he was being held in. He's obviously he's a brilliant finisher, and he's a nightmare for defenders, and he's a very big part of Liverpool's pressing, which is obviously what makes them so good. But he's just so there's no smoothness to him on the ball, if you know what I mean. And he just looks a bit sort of difficult to watch. And I think when Jota's performances have definitely warranted a starting place, but Mane is 100% the person I'd take out over Firmino. I think Firmino is so, the distance he covers and some of the things he can do on the ball is brilliant. I know his numbers aren't amazing, but it's like I was saying with Salah, Firmino and Mane play probably 10, maybe 10 yards in from Sterling and Mahrez, say, and naturally you're going to score more goals, I feel. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a big Sane fan. I'm a sandboy, effectively. And I watch someone like Sane, and the same with Hazard, and they're just the complete package. They can just go past people like they're not there. Their passing ranges could put them in a midfield. And I don't really see that with Mane, although his threat is undoubted. But yeah, I'm gonna have to agree that Leroy Sane is not near the level of a Salah or
Leroy Sane or Sadio Mane.
Sadio Mane, yeah. Sorry. Leroy Sane is. But yeah. Yeah. Mane is my pick. But yeah, so kudos, Ewan. Well done.
Thank you.
But yeah, moving on. Final position, of course, the striker. Ewan, who have you opted for?
Okay, I think this will be unpopular with you, George. However, I've gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, okay.
And I think he is a good player, obviously. Anyone to play in the Premier League is a good player. And to get his record this season, you have to be a good player. However, I think that he's been overhyped because of his great start to the season. I know he offers more to the team than just goals, but I'm going to outline reasons why I think that even though he's been put into England squads and in a lot of people's England squads, he's just the obvious second choice striker. I don't think he should necessarily be that. So he had a decent last season, but it wasn't anything ridiculous and it wasn't special. And then what I've gone and done, I've had a look at his competition for England. So the five players that I see in and around his level. So or the five players that would be competing for that second striker spot. So I've gone for him, Danny Ings, Bamford, Watkins, Wilson, and... who's the other one? There's Wilson, Watkins, Danny Ings, Bamford, DCL, and Tammy Abraham.
Okay.
So compared to them... So we'll start off. He's joint on goals with Bamford, but has 6 less assists than Bamford. Out of his competition for England, he's got the second lowest goal contributions per 90 this season out of those 6. He's outperforming his XG, same as Ings, but Ings is more than double overperforming his XG compared to DCL. DCL's work rate is often praised, but he's the lowest for tackles per 90 and fourth for interceptions per 90.
Hang on a second. You can't be saying a striker like talking and, about his tackles. Who's he going to be tackling centre-backs?
Alex, and, okay, listen, overall, the kicker. Yeah, the kicker, Alex. He's the lowest for pressures per 90. However, what I'm going to say is a lot of that can be put down to how the team plays and is not necessarily a reflection on the player themselves. However, as you might be able to see, I think other players put in just as much, if not more, work. He's also not particularly creative. He's got no assists and has the lowest key passes per 90 out of the six. He is second in progressive passes, but in all of these stats where he's second, Ings just seems to outperform him. So in conclusion, I think he's a good player, but he's not much better than the others. Like, I think he's either on the same level as some of the others, or compared to Ings, I don't think he's as good as Ings. And so I think due to his strong start of the season, if it wasn't for that strong start of the season, people probably wouldn't even have him in the England setup. Like, they'd be thinking about him. He'd be like, oh yeah, DCL. But in the same way, you'd be like, oh yeah, Callum Wilson for me. So there you go.
I do quite like the shout, despite my residency. And you've thrown an awful lot of stats at me there, and it's probably going to take me a while to digest them. So I'll let Alex start on who he thinks is the most underrated striker in the Premier League.
Okay, no, before you do that, firstly, I'm going to say, how funny would it be if I just used all of you in stats against him and just went with Danny Ings now?
Slightly funny.
But I also think that a lot of you in stats are complete bullshit. Who cares about his progressive passes?
Well, I've given you a rounded view of DCL's game.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, my most underrated striker. Now, this is one that I've got an argument for. I wholeheartedly believe in it. You might not agree with me here, Gig, because I think I am in the minority, which is why I think he's underrated. It's Fabio Silva. Now, I think that also shows some sort of level of non-bias, considering he's a Wolves player. However, I think that Fabio Silva has been extremely unlucky in that he pretty much got thrown straight into the Wolves first team, which he wasn't really ready for, and I don't think that he was ever planned to have that happen. And he's only got 4 goals this season, but he seems to, whenever I watch him play, there's a certain level of composure. He never panics in front of goal. His finishing just isn't quite there yet. But he's younger than us. He's nowhere near a finished product of a player. he's a really young lad who's been thrown into a really difficult position. Also had to compare against Jimenez, which is always going to be a difficult job. And say if he had to come into this team last year and he was playing alongside Jota, then I think his goal tally would be much higher up. And I think part of the reason his goals scored is so low is because he plays for Wolves, who this season have had a massive issue in creating chances, let alone finishing them off anyway. And some of the goals he has scored, well, every goal he has scored has been fantastic in the way that he takes it. Like when he scored against us, it was a big goal mouth scramble, and the composure he had to just take the ball around the defender and just slot it into the bottom corner, so calm, so collected, showed the quality of a real striker. Did the same thing against West Ham the other day. A really well-finished shot. He held off his man really well and put it in the bottom corner. And for a lad who, it was on his weak foot, for a lad who's young, he's not particularly big in stature, very strong. He's got that sort of pace over 10 yards, sort of like in a Robbie Keane kind of way. And also got an assist today for Adama Traore's 92nd minute winner, which could be huge for Wolves' form over the next few weeks, as they've been on a bit of a dip. And I think
they're not really, you care that about win. That result because of Wolves.
No, I obviously care about that because Fulham have lost. But yeah, I think and I think Fabio Silva gets so much unnecessary hate because of the amount of goals he scored. But I don't think it's his fault a lot of the time. And yeah, I think he is definitely going to be a really good player, and I think he's a much better player than he's given credit for.
Yeah, both very good arguments. I like both players, I'll be honest. And as you say, Fabio Silva has been chucked in at the deep end somewhat. I think we still don't know when Jimenez will be back, and he was one of Wolves' first names on the team sheet. And I think it very much his job would have been a lot easier if he was coming on for Jimenez, playing in cup games, playing against weaker opposition. And yeah, the West Brom going particularly took very well, but ultimately he still came in for £35 million, I believe, and it's
that's
very
not his fault that he gets bought in for that much money, in the same way with Harry Maguire. Yeah, I think in a better side.
Yeah, but it's an indication of how they're rated, I feel.
Yes, especially when they're public perception now.
Yeah, but especially when they're bought in this season, like the price tag's like the first thing you look at as like I think in term like say someone comes from a foreign league, like we obviously don't watch foreign leagues too much, so the price tag's like the first thing you notice and you're like, oh shit, they must be rated highly in that sort of.
Well, I mean, I would say that, but also £35 million is a lot of money for a striker if you're trying to sign them and then get them 15 goals in their first season. But that wasn't his role. It was never going to be his role. And his role is to be a youth prospect, essentially, who they've got high hopes for. And I still think they should have those high hopes. He's on a lengthy contract as well. It's not like they've signed him for goals right away. They've signed him for what he's going to be. And I think people are taking him too much for what he is for that price tag. And they're counting him as a £35 million player now. And I don't think that's what Wolves bought him for. They bought him for what he will be. And I think he will be a more than £35 million player. And I think that's kind of the issue. Like what you've just said kind of reinforces my point of that people are judging him on the price tag when they shouldn't be, because his performances right now aren't indicative of the price tag he was bought for, but they weren't meant to be, because this isn't what the job that he was supposed to be doing. His job was over the next few years, be the second striker and slowly come into being the first choice and displacing Jimenez, which I think he will do. And he's just been put in a position where he's had to play more than he should be.
You are right in the sense that he hasn't been bought for the player that he is now. But I'd still like to see a lot more sort of goal-scoring instinct from him. You look at Pedro Neto and Ruben Neves came at a similar age and have shown a lot more for a lot less money, I think. Wolves' problems as well, you can sort of... Like William Jose's record at Real Sociedad is very, very respectable, and he hasn't scored a goal yet for Wolves, although he scored a perfectly good goal tonight. But that being said, I have sort of fallen into the trap of Dominic Calvert-Lewin being England's second striker, but I always want someone off the bench to add something different, if you know what I mean. And I think Calvert-Lewin offers a lot of what Kane offers, if you know what I mean. I've always really liked him as a player. I think we've started to see the best under him from Ancelotti. But as you say, you win like a decent spell at the end of last season and a phenomenal start to this season where he was scoring at a ridiculous rate, which I think we all sort of thought would drop off. Maybe we do hold him in a higher esteem than we should. And I think someone like, although I get ambushed for my Villa bias, I think someone like Watkins or Callum Wilson would offer a lot more off the bench. That last 20 minutes, that sort of that turn of pace would offer a lot more. I like both players, but I think, as you say, apart from a very fast start to the season, it's like Calvert-Lewin, it hasn't set the world on fire, and I think I would... It's tough because I do like him, but I think I'm going to have to say he is more overrated than Fabio Silva is underrated, I think. I think Fabio Silva gets a lot of harsh stick, but I don't know if I'd necessarily say he's underrated, if you know what I mean. There's obviously talent there. But I think I'm going to have to go with Ewan on this one. Did we do a manager? Or...
Oh, no, I didn't do a manager.
Marco
Silva is... Oh, no, wait, no. I'm sorry, that would have been, like, overrated. I don't know. I can't think of an underrated.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm just stalling.
Overrated. if it makes you... Oh, no, actually, that wouldn't...
My overrated manager would be Marco Silva. Came in, did a great job at Hull where he got relegated. Did a very okay job at Watford and then got a move to Everton where he was shit.
Surely it's got to be someone that's in the Premier League now.
I don't know. That was just... I always just thought Marco Silva was overrated.
By Sky Sports pundits and pundits in general, I think Steve Bruce is massively overrated in the fact that they think that he is a competent Premier League manager.
Yeah.
But then he might keep Newcastle up, you know, and all will be forgiven. But by us at least, maybe not by Newcastle fans. But...
This controversial overrated chat, you wouldn't have heard me say this before, but I'm actually going to go, and there's a specific reason. I'm going to go Jurgen Klopp. I'm going to say this because if you look at other tops here, real elite managers, yes, they have a system that they want to play like Klopp. However, that system is somewhat malleable and you can change it and adapt it. However, Klopp just chooses not to, even though it might be in his best interest to occasionally change it. And I think although he's done absolutely amazing things at Liverpool, I think they could have been out of or they could have been done better in this slump if he were able to adapt like Pep or Mourinho would.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've got in Ewan's head with all my Liverpool questions. But yeah, there's certainly a stubbornness to him. Like you see Pep or switch to 4-2-3-1 or maybe even occasionally go three at the back if he's had a few bottles of Estrella and he's feeling a bit out there. That might be a controversial note to end the pod on, but that is it. Just to conclude, our overrated stroke, underrated 11. In goal, we've got Lucas Fabianski as underrated. Right back, Nelson Semedo, overrated. Ben White, also overrated. Craig Dawson, underrated. Very much swayed by the West Brom contingent. Left back, Benjamin Mendy. Defensive midfielder, Harrison Reed. Centre midfielders, Conor Gallagher and Tanguy Ndombele.
All underrated.
Mohamed Salah underrated, which does seem a bit odd to say, but I can understand it. Sadio Mane, his counterpart, overrated. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin, a fellow Merseysider, also overrated. But that does it for this episode. Thank you very much for watching or listening. The True Geordie, did you enjoy that? No, I thought it was great. Some very good decisions in there, and I'll definitely be happy to come back. Awesome, True Geordie. Thank you. Anything we want to add before we go?
It was a pleasure, lads, and congratulations on winning Galax.
You put up a good fight, mate. I would just like to ask True Geordie a question on whether or not he likes me putting a Newcastle player as one of my underrated 11.
It's tough at the minute. I think Fraser, he's been good at times and he's done a lot for Bournemouth. Hell of a journey as well, coming from Bournemouth to Newcastle, like 6-7 hours. But he's definitely a good player. And if we'd have played, if he'd have been around all season, we'd certainly not be in the position we're in, I think. So no, I appreciate the sentiment.
Oh, no worries, Geordie.
Yeah.
That was amazing. That was so hell of a journey. That's got me.
So yeah, Alex has just about edged it. I mean, he won it pretty early, but six underrated players to five overrated. Good times were had by all. Be sure to follow us on all socials. Please subscribe to the True Geordie as well if you're not already.
Link in the he's description doing great things. If you don't know who he is.
He's doing great things over there. Peace.